Say your name and your title.
My name is Jason Franklin. I serve as the W.K. Kellogg Community Philanthropy Chair at the Johnson Center for Philanthropy at Grand Valley State University.
Define a giving circle.
Giving circles are a really growing phenomenon of when a group of people come together to pool their money and give that money out together to the causes, communities, or issues that they care about.
I read the term collective giving and that there's other forms. What are some of the other forms?
So collective giving is really the broader phrase we use to talk about all the ways that people pool money and move money together. Those include giving circles. They also include collective giving groups, which can be structured in different ways of different levels of authority over the giving. Sometimes you see collective giving groups where maybe 200 people contribute, but 20 people from that group actually then move the money out. It also includes funder or donor collaboratives, so more structured systems where often foundations and individual donors will pool their money together to give away, sometimes with staff, sometimes without. So it's really a broad term, and you see a lot of variation because there's not a single practice to define what the best way to give together is, but rather a lot of people trying different approaches all over the country.
You were talking about how some of these collective giving opportunities flow through foundation. Is the trend happening more outside the walls of a foundation?
Well, so we actually see the majority of giving circles, which is the form of collective giving I've looked at in most depth, are actually the majority of them are held within community foundations or other public foundations. So you see women's funds and LGBT funds and United Ways and Jewish federations all playing host to giving circles along with traditional community foundations. And a big driver for this has been these community foundations who are trying to figure out other ways to promote a culture of philanthropy within the community and ways to really connect with new donors, younger donors, donors of color, those who have traditionally not been part of a historical community foundation donor base.
I just wanted to make sure that I understood a point here.
Sure.
Is it just simply that the nature of your report only studied giving circles that are based within a foundation, or are you saying that the trend is to have those giving circles reside within a foundation?
Great question. So we looked at, tried to identify as many giving circles across the United States as we could, identified almost 1,600 giving circles across the country, and the majority of those giving circles are housed at a community foundation or another type of grant-making public charity.
In what I read online from the Johnson Center, it says that giving circles have tripled since the year 2007. Why have they risen in popularity?
Yeah, so we've seen a massive growth in giving circles and the number of circles, the number of people involved, the amount of money that they're giving. A lot of different reasons for why that growth. You know, part of it has been the efforts of community foundations to reach new donors and to launch giving circles as a way to recruit and engage new donors. But even more powerful has been like really a desire for people to connect with one another. In this moment where we're living in the most digitally connected and yet psychologically isolating moment of modern history, what we hear from a lot of people who started giving circles is that they started them or they joined them because they wanted to connect with other people. They wanted to be able to give together, not just by themselves. They wanted to learn about what was going on in their community. So I think it's really a response of people trying to find connection.
The average giving amount by individual donors is decreasing, but the amounts being donated by these giving circles are increasing. What's that about?
Yeah, so we see that the average amount has been falling, and that really is because of the diversification. As you've seen this expansion of the number of circles, it's not surprising to see the average dollar amount go down as more and more people are involved. In fact, we're estimating that over 150,000 people have been engaged in giving circles. And while we do know some circles that give, where there's a couple that even have $1 million per person minimum, the majority are in the $500 to $1,000 range or less per person.
Most of these giving circles are created around a particular race, age, religion, or some other identity. Had that always been the case?
That's always been the case, and it's just been growing. So giving circles actually have been particularly powerful and popular among women. Indeed, 70% of all giving circle members are women. We've also seen a real growth in giving circles within communities of color. And that is, there's a lot of questions around why are giving circles growing within communities of color. Part of it has been because of the effort from community foundations to engage more with donors of color. It's also been that there have been organizing efforts from Asian American Pacific Islanders in philanthropy and the Community Investment Network, which is principally working with the Black community, to start giving circles within their own communities. And you see it resonate with cultures of giving within these different communities, that you see the history of collective giving within the API community or African American or Latino communities that resonates with the form of a giving circle.
I did read a little bit about the Community Investment Network. Can you just describe briefly what it is and around when did it form?
So the Community Investment Network is a network of principally African American giving circles that got started in 2003 in the U.S. South. They actually support giving circles across the country, but they've been rooted in the South trying to build civic engagement and philanthropy within the Black community.
What's been the fastest growing identity group that's forming giving circles?
We don't know, because we don't have perfect data to say what the fastest growing group is. We know that women's giving circles are the dominant form of identity-based circles, but there's also a real intersection where we see the rise of Jewish circles and Black circles, Latino circles, Asian Pacific Islander circles, and women's circles is probably the five biggest identity groups. But then you see Black women's giving circles or Jewish women's giving circles. So you do see those intersections. We see also some emergence of LGBT circles, even a small but growing number of men's circles, which we've done a couple of those interviews and we've heard consistently from the men I've talked to, at least, said, yeah, my wife was involved in a circle or my mom was involved in a circle and I wanted to do it too. So it's, men following the lead of the women in their lives.
How many times have you done this particular study such that you know you have comparative apples to apples data?
So that's actually one of the things that's really interesting is that this is really just the second broad landscape scan. So two of my co-authors, Angie Eikenberry and Jessica Bierman, did a broad scan of the giving circle landscape back in 2007. And about 2 years ago, as they were talking with each other and with the team at the Mott Foundation about the rise of giving circles, that led to this project to do a new version of this landscape scan to say, how have things changed over the last decade? And so we're finally able to say we've known for years that giving circles are becoming more popular and spreading. But this research that came out last year was the first time we'd seen a real broad scan to give us that comparative apples-to-apples data.
And so that's why you can say that in 2007, we had these type of identity groups showing up in these types of numbers, and today we are seeing them in different numbers. Is that
exactly
what you're saying?
So we're able to say that we've seen triple the number of circles from 2007 to 2017.
And I'm not sure if I was understanding this particular point or not, but do you have it broken down by identity groups?
We do.
Okay.
In the longer giving circle study, we have data on each of the individual identity groups and the numbers and percents.
I didn't give you a heads up on it, so I'm not expecting you to memorize all these numbers. But if you do have it handy, what is the comparative data for Black women giving circles from 2007 to current?
Give me one moment and I'll have it for you. Okay. What we don't have is the number of Black women's giving circles, because the intersectional data becomes really difficult to pull apart.
Okay.
And indeed, one of the differences we hope to look at in the future is what makes a women's circle a women's circle, for example. If a group of women come together and say, we're going to start a women's circle, then it's a women's circle.
Mm-hmm.
If a group of people come together and say, we're going to start a circle to give to education issues in our community, and they all happen to be women, is that a women's circle or not?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, this question of if you come together because of your identity, or if you come together because of an issue and you happen to share an identity, it's a subtle difference, but it is real. So what we do know is just membership in giving circles. Out of the 706 giving circles where we had clear gender identity, 640 of them were women. Of the 117 giving circles that had a clear race or ethnic identity, 52 were Asian Pacific Islander, 38 were African American, and 16 were Latino.
So an overall 706 giving circles, is that correct?
So this is where it gets confusing, because these are the numbers for people who reported gender or reported race. So it's less than the overall number of all circles that are out there.
Okay, let's start here. What is the overall number of circles then?
Overall, we have identified 1,838 independent giving circles and giving circle chapters.
Got it. And of those that reported gender or race as a factor in their formation,
mm-hmm.
that would be 706. Is that correct?
Yes. So of the 706 that reported gender identity,
right?
640 of the 706 were women.
And of the 706 giving circles that identified gender or race, 117 identified themselves as forming around race.
Yes.
And the further breakdown of that, 52 Asian Pacific Islander groups?
Yep.
And then 38 African Americans and 16 Latino groups?
Yep. And then 3 Arab American, 1 Native American, and 1 multiracial, if you're trying to get it to add up.
Okay. So in 2007, if overall today it's a little over 1,800, what was the number in 2007 for the number of giving
yep.
circles?
They identified 400 groups in 2007, and then we identified 1,313 independent groups in 2017.
Oh, okay. I'm a little lost here.
2007,
you identified 400 groups overall. Okay.
Yep. And then in 2017.
Yes.
1,313. The one piece of, again, the data is always like being careful how we say it. 1,313 independent giving circles and an additional 525 chapters.
Okay.
That's where you get the 1,800.
Yeah, because I was like, okay, that's not adding up. Now, what's the importance of making that distinction between independent giving circles and chapters?
Functionally to you and me, nothing. It is a legal structure that a couple of the most popular giving circle models are actually set up as one national nonprofit with chapters all over the country who run themselves, but then give the money through the national.
I see. So when you say 525 chapters, that's counting every chapter of that larger organization?
Exactly. So like Dining for Women is one example that has several hundred chapters around the country.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I understand the figures. how did you all go about identifying the different groups? Because
sure.
I imagine many of them fall under the radar.
They do, and I will say in advance, we know we didn't find everybody. Indeed, after finishing the research, we've heard about more.
How far off would you say? I'm sorry, go ahead.
We don't really know how far off because so many of them are informal. You know, if you and me and 3 other people decided, like, hey, we should get together for dinner, like, every quarter, and we'll each kick in $100, and then we'll give the money to a group that we find. That would be fun. That's a giving circle.
Absolutely.
Even if nobody but the five of us knew, and we just wrote checks and then put them in an envelope and mailed them to somebody. So in terms of how we found them, though, we identified there's actually almost 25 networks of giving circles around the country, like Community Investment Network, Latino Giving Circle Network, Impact 100, Dining for Women, etc. So we reached out to all of them. We reached out to every community foundation and Jewish Federation and United Way and Women's Foundation in the country to ask if they hosted any giving circles or if they knew of them. And then we did extensive web research, you know, searches and going through for giving circle and giving group and collective giving group and to find as many as we could.
The other thing that I was fascinated about is, let's see if I could find the term here. On your website, you indicate that giving circles are a powerful tool to democratize and diversify philanthropy. So I was curious, in the past, philanthropy, was it mostly a thing that white men did?
So what we know is that philanthropy is something that is done by almost 90%, more than 90% of the American populace. If you think about philanthropy as giving back or giving to others. However, we also know that philanthropy with a capital P, as large dollar giving that gets celebrated in the press and seen, has largely been the province of white wealthy families because wealth maps onto race in this country. And so formal structural philanthropy has been very white and has been very male. And one of the things the giving circles provide is a way for women and people of color and young people and others to pool their resources to give larger dollars together, to be engaged in conversation about philanthropy in a more structured way, and to have new access to the conversation about what is happening in their community that they might not get otherwise.
If you had to summarize what the major findings of this study revealed, what would you say they are?
The major finding of this study about giving circles is that giving together is more popular than ever. We have seen a massive growth in the number of giving circles, a diversification of the styles and approaches, and I think a really exciting indication of seeing more women and more people of color and more young people getting formally involved in philanthropy that I think will really change the conversation about how and what philanthropy means moving forward.
And what do you think the impact of that is going to be? Like, how will it change society?
Yeah. One of the things we know is that when people from diverse backgrounds are present in the conversation itself changes. When you show up and talk about poverty or education or environmental protection, and people who have been living with the impacts of poverty, who've experienced firsthand the lack of investment in education, who've seen the environmental impacts of a lack of protection in their own community, the conversation around what the problem is and the brainstorming about what the solutions can be are different. And giving circles offer a way for new voices to enter into the philanthropic conversation. So I think what it'll mean will be a better and more nuanced understanding of the problems facing our society, and hopefully more interesting and innovative and honest exploration of how to address those.